In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. We need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. Go to podsurvey.com/firstdegree and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way we can bring on advertisers that you won't want to skip. And once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/firstdegree. podsurvey.com/firstdegree. Thanks for your help. Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. I'm going to apologize right now because I have just been partying my face off, and you can really hear it in my voice. It's hard for me to talk right now.
I am kind of shook that you're here and you've shown up, because it's like you have a hard time with a hangover after one party night, and you've been going for weeks.
Yes, I have been.
In several states.
I know, you know, just it's that tour life, baby. It really just invigorates me.
It feels good to be back, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. I can't say no to it. But, you know, then you have to like come back to real life, and then all of your work responsibilities come crashing at you at once. So here I am. I'm alive.
You know what? They'll crash at you even if you don't go have fun, because like every morning it hits. I'm just like, whoa, okay. You know,
wow, this is too much to handle.
That's
all the
right.
time.
Right. So it's like at least you did something fun on the weekend where it's a little bit more palatable. Yeah,
that's true. How are you guys doing?
So hot in my apartment. I want to die.
We're going through a heat wave in California right now, which is crazy because the rest of the country is fucking freezing.
Well, and we're not mentally prepared for it. That's my issue, is that like I wasn't ready for this. So now I feel just burdened. It's so cumbersome. And then what really fucks you up is that on Monday, it's going back to 65.
I know.
Like 100 today and it's gonna be 65. I'm like, okay, so I shouldn't unpack my summer clothes yet.
Are you okay,
Billy? It's a whole to do.
Yeah. I don't know. These are a lot of first world problems that we're talking about right now.
Oh, really? You're so above them? Before we started airing, you were like, it's so hot in Phoenix all the time.
He's melting.
No, you were just like, this is what Alexa said. Alexa is like, it's so hot here. Is it hot in Phoenix? Which is the most ridiculous statement or question anybody could ever ask.
I don't know. It's still early in the year.
Oh, no. It's hot in Phoenix in like March.
Yeah,
it starts getting pretty fucking hot.
Hot in Phoenix.
You guys, when I was on tour at the New York City show, I met our mod, Allie.
What? We sent her juice.
Yeah, I met her. She came to the show. She came up to me right after the show. And then she was also with a couple of our other firsties.
I love that.
I don't remember the name of the gal that posted in our Facebook group, but she posted about the show the day of the show, and she's like, I had the hardest day. Like, I'm just like in such a bad mood. I don't know if I can go to the show. And everybody in the Facebook group convinced her to go to the show. And then she went and I met her and she was just having the best time. So
hey,
I'm so glad that she went.
That's what the Facebook group is for. Yes.
I love that. We love Allie.
We are boosting each other up.
Yeah. We have all of our first degreers that are now big fans of the Maine, and everybody is just like a happy family. And I love it.
I'm here for it.
It's the best.
Well, I love the rocking out twins from that show.
Oh my God. If you don't know what I'm talking or Alexis is talking about, there was these two twins. You can check my Instagram. They both looked like Paul Rudd.
And they dressed identical during the show.
Identical, and they were rocking out like in twin formation.
And playing like air guitar.
One was the singer and he was like belting along, like holding a fake microphone. And then one was holding his air guitar. And it was the most pure thing I've ever seen in my life.
I love that.
I love them.
It was so sweet.
Mysterious twins.
I know. Do we have anything to talk about?
You know what? Well, we got the Patreon going on.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Patreon has officially launched. We were a week late, but we wanted to make sure that we had all our whole back catalog ready for everybody to listen to without ads. And that is the whole to-do.
Yes. We have Patreon going on.
It was a laborious process, so we didn't want to skimp out and release too early. We wanted you guys to have that ad-free shit if that's what you want.
Yeah. Exactly. We've got all that. We've got Unraveled Season 5 is going on right now. Go check that out. Give us a review. That'd be great. Me and Lex are going to be at CrimeCon.
And I'm trying to convince Jack to come. We'll see.
Well, I wasn't invited, so.
You were invited.
No, I wasn't. Not by CrimeCon.
No, Jack was like, I'm going to stagecoach.
ID made us go.
Oh, okay.
Jack was like, I'm going to stagecoach.
I mean, if crime, nobody asked me. So
I did.
No, but I'm not going, like, I need to be asked in a business sense.
You know what we're asking you in a business sense?
Well,
this is the first degree corporate. This is,
no one's paying us to go.
This is first degree corporate. Jack Bannock, can you please come to CrimeCon? Hi.
You and Jared can stay with me.
Oh, a nice little slumba party.
Hey, we did CrimeCon that way. Me, you, and Jared shared a room in New Orleans, and we had a fucking blast.
I know, just three gals sharing a room.
We had a really good time.
It was so fun. No, so I'm fun. Listen, I haven't made my decision yet. Maybe I'll pop up there if enough people convince me to go. So if our firsties are going, let me know.
Everyone speak up and make Jack appear like a little, like a witch. Just out of a puff of smoke, she'll arrive.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Well, what day is it today, Billy?
All right. Dark day.
Dark day.
April 14th, 1865.
Tomorrow's tax day.
Oh, shit.
Abraham Lincoln is shot by John Wilkes Booth. Now, I know a lot about this case.
Yeah.
This is something that, and we're going to get into this in True Crime Rewind as far as like the first ever story I wrote that I got paid for.
Was wow. About how much did you get paid?
$200. Was about the Jack Ruby of this story. He was the guy that actually shot John Wilkes Booth in the same way that Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald. But let's talk about President Lincoln for a second. He was at Ford's Theater. He was watching a play. It was a play called Our American Cousin. Now, Booth was a, John Wilkes Booth was an actor. He wasn't, his family were huge in the acting community. He was kind of a little bit like the black sheep. He wasn't, he was sort of a character actor slash almost leading man. Okay. So think about that. But he was really, really into the South, obviously really, really racist. And he actually waits outside of the box. So Lincoln is sitting in a box watching this play. He waits for the big laugh. So there was a big laugh in the play. And the big laugh was a guy named Harry Hawke, who was the actor. And he says this line, "I know enough to turn you inside out, old gal. You sockdologizing old man trap."
What's a sockdologizing?
It's like it's somebody that is sort of like you're telling them the truth almost. It's like it's a weird.
And was he saying old gal to an old gal, or was it to a man to be offensive?
No, it was to an old gal actually. Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's he not waits. So mean.
So Booth. Offensive. So Booth. Wait,
I mean,
still
it's
offensive.
Not kind. It's not kind. But it'd be worse to a man.
How dare you call me out on being old?
Yes. Yeah. So Booth waits until, and meanwhile, she was probably like 32 or something.
But oh,
meanwhile,
yeah, sure. Old maid.
Yeah. But the crowd erupts. Booth rushes into the box, shoots Lincoln in the back of the head right below the ear, and then he jumps onto the stage because he's such a drama queen. He's so theatrical, right? When he's jumping onto the stage, his spur on his boot gets caught in the bunting of the American flag. Symbolism.
What's bunting?
Bunting, I only know, is like a little flag, like that flag that's sort of like a half circle that you see on like.
What's the bunting of a flag?
It's like a decoration of a flag. Hmm. It's a half circle of a flag that you might see over and over and over again on like a ledge or something along those lines.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like garland kind of.
Yeah. Sort of like that, yes.
Like garland decorative like cloth.
Sure.
Oh, like little flags that have the flag print on it.
Yes. Okay. So he catches his, I mean, this is like, he was like all set for his big bunting. Moment.
Did you also know what, do you know what else a bunting is?
What? I know a cake is a bunt.
A bunting is those
when
little...
When you kick something?
No, a bunting is the little outfits that babies wear that only have one sack for their feet. There's not like two little legs.
Is
it's just
bunting?
Like
that's called a bunt?
It's called a bunting.
It's not a swaddle?
No. It's just like the little outfit. It has arms, but then just like one little mermaid blob.
Like they're
at the
a
bottom.
Little caterpillar?
Yeah.
I love that.
I don't know why I know that.
Probably because you've gotten them for friends who had babies?
Nope.
Just know it.
Okay, yep. So... He jumps, he catches his spur in the bunting, and then he falls really awkwardly and breaks his ankle.
Can I say, I love that people were just wearing spurs, not to go riding, just had them on
as a fashion statement.
He did have a go riding because he probably had a horse outside. He had a horse outside, exactly. And a guy named Peanut was holding his horse.
That's not a
great
name.
By the way, I didn't even need to do any research on
that
this.
That guy's real
shit.
Name was Peanut.
Yeah. Sounds like a nickname. Yeah. So, but ever the drama queen, he had a knife because he also slashed the guy that was next to Lincoln too. And
did he kill him?
Yes. No. He held up the knife and he said, "Sic semper tyrannis," which means always to tyrants in Latin. You know, the South is avenged. He runs off the stage or sort of like, you know, stumbles off the stage, gets on his horse, and then he leaves. And then there is a big, giant, you know, because everybody knew who he was. Nobody was just like, "Who did this?" It's like, "Oh, wow, that was Booth. That's an actor." It'd be like if, like, frickin' Kramer jumped off the stage.
It'd be like if Will Smith slapped someone during the Oscars.
It would be similar to that, yes.
Okay.
And it'd be like, "Wow, that was Will Smith that just, like, assaulted a guy. It's like, maybe we should go after him. But let's just let him stay. And then give him a standing ovation." Yeah, so this is what happens. He goes off, and then in True Crime Rewind, we are going to pick up this story.
I'm so excited. I don't know anything beyond part of the story.
I just can't believe how much Billy knows. We were literally talking in our group chat about, should we do this for True Crime Rewind? And Billy sent an article he wrote about it. We're like, all right, I guess that's a yes.
No, yeah.
You like was sent beaming it. With pride. Beaming. Well, you
because I was there. I was in the audience.
Yeah, I know. This was like your glory days. You had sent the article in the group chat. And I was like, why is he sending this random article? I'm not going to read it. And I was like, do you think you could talk about it enough? And you're like, yeah, I wrote that entire article.
Yeah, and then you still said, "Yeah, I'm not going to read it."
I used to share clothes with Abe Lincoln. Of course, I can do this.
Exactly. We were both 6'4", and I will say this though, before we get on to the rest of the, you know, I was actually just in Washington D.C. I did a TikTok because the two women that I do this podcast with forced me to do TikToks. I thought I did a particularly clever TikTok where I went to Ford's Theater and I showed Ford's Theater and I said, "This is the most infamous murder in the 1800s. And then I turned around and said, "This is what you get when you get killed in the most infamous murder in the 1800s. And there's literally a Lincoln's waffle shop right across the street.
Oh, no.
Honestly.
And it did nothing.
I don't want to hear it. I spend a long time doing like scripted TikToks that bomb.
Alexis, you have really taken it upon yourself.
And you do like the most bullshit little effort TikToks where you go like clop, clop, cha, cha, cha with like a sad face and they do well.
No, Billy's are good. Billy does know what he's doing a little bit. Yeah. You guys are both good. I mean, I'm actually very proud of both of your TikTok skills. Yes. Mm-hmm. Both of you for different reasons.
Billy's also like, everyone's shocked to see him, so everyone engages with his posts. Feel like we're the, like, no matter what, his shit's always going to do pretty well.
No, mine usually bomb because they're like, I already see you on your page. I don't need to see you twice. No, I yours only want to see you once.
Yours are good, though. Yours are really zeitgeisty.
Help me.
But I try to do what Jack recommends and use trendy sounds. And I did the trendiest sound today and it bombed. And I was like, this is what the kids are doing. And I thought it was clever. Like, whatever.
It's okay. Well, we can get into that. You can talk to your therapist about it later if you need to.
Some other time.
What kind of true crime in real time are we doing today, Billy?
Oh, God, I don't even have anything, actually, to be honest with you.
Enough. I think we talked enough about our TikTok to fill the time.
Honestly, we did.
Honestly, the crime in real time is the TikTok I posted today.
it really is, because I think it was it. Yeah, I looked at it, too, and I thought it was particularly good.
We're not going to talk about how many it did.
Okay,
it's
we're not
going to
talk about schematics. Like, some of the ones that Alexis has done ones that, like, the one with the genetic genealogy, like, guys who thought they got away with it, I was like, this one's gonna go viral, and it didn't.
Womp,
and then
womp.
At that point, I
but you
said,
know what? You got a little bit too niche. You got a little bit too niche.
You're right.
People didn't
I gotta
know
go
what you're
dumber.
Talking about.
I gotta tell it like they're five, which I thought today did, but it did even worse. Mm-hmm. So I gotta find a happy medium. A little smarter, but
a little dumb
my smart shit down.
You can like make them smart, but then have like an underlying stupidness about it. You know, that's just life. That's life, baby.
100%.
Yeah,
showbiz,
like
baby.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, when we come back, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session. All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. Every week we're bringing something to the stand that we are either defending or prosecuting. We're talking about it, chatting about it, debating it, whatever. And then once we're done, we're bringing it to Instagram. Everybody's voting if something is guilty or not guilty. Does anybody want to go first or should I go?
I'll go first, which I never do. But I really thought about this.
Okay.
I am putting on the stand. I'm defending something I thought I would never like. Something I probably would have like stuck my nose at and scoffed at. I love a canned cocktail.
Oh.
Like they're making them. This is not an ad and these people are not paying us, although I wish they would. They would. But Cutwater cocktails, they're fucking killing it. Now I don't want anything else. Their margaritas are incredible. Their Palomas are incredible. I'm not having to buy mix. I'm not having to buy bottles of booze that I don't that don't get opened because like you don't have the other ingredients to make the good drinks. Yeah.
Or the mix, like exactly like
or
you
like
might have to get
fruits.
Like. Yeah, like great. No, you're exactly right. Cutwater, by the way,
is killing it.
They are really killing it, and they are really, really well done. I will say that.
They're dry. They're not sweet. Like whatever you're expecting when you try it, you're like, oh, this is going to be a shitty margarita, and then they're not. And what's even more exciting about them, again, not an ad, but you can dress them up. You can throw more tequila in them. You can throw some Topo Chico in it, make it extra fizzy. You could throw like muddle some mint and throw it in a margarita. Like they're life changing and it's all I want. And I just, what I am angry about is they only come in packs of four.
You but can't buy a bulk pack? You haven't gone to Costco?
They don't have them at Costco. I checked. It's funny you say that. but yeah, that's the, I love drinks. I love like craft cocktails. I love the cocktails Jack makes. And I just thought I would be disgusted by that. And I tried them. And now it's like, wow, this is the most convenient shit I've ever had in my life. And because it's well done, finally. I can't vouch for any other brands. But like everything they do tastes good.
If you like a tequila one, I don't know if you've had this yet. And I don't remember whose brand this is. But the brand Mamitas. Also, not an ad. They have the most amazing tequila cocktails. And you know, I don't like a canned cocktail at all. They're so good. So try those.
Good
try
to know.
Those too. Yeah.
I feel like are you a fan? Palm Springs.
There you go. I am a fan. I have had them before. I think they are wonderful. While I do enjoy the ritual of making the cocktail and being a bar owner myself.
1/100th.
1/100th of a bar. Beth of Gin in Los Angeles. But it's, they are really, really well done. Like Cutwater in particular nails it. So not guilty.
Not. I mean, I've had a few sips of yours and it's pretty delicious. So I'll say not guilty.
Yeah. And they do it all. They do like gin and tonics. They do vodka sodas in various flavors. They do Bloody Marys. They do so many. I haven't tried the Bloody Marys, but their tequila ones are my particular favorite. But so that's all. I just want to, summer's coming. You don't want glass by a pool. So indulge yourselves.
Indulge yourselves. Way. The canned Bloody Mary is a little questionable to me. I'll have to try that out. You want it to be a little chunky.
I'll taste test that for you.
All right. Give it a whirl.
Yes.
Okay, Billy, do you want to go?
Sure. Yes. All right. So this is something that actually has to do with TikTok. And we have been forced because Jack has said
you
we got to do TikTok.
You love it.
It's the idea of hearing a sound and now thinking that should be a sound on TikTok.
Oh,
and the
no,
first time,
Billy, you do it. You have to create it.
I know, but
the
here's
sound.
The thing. It's just
he
like,
know how. It's too
hard. The first thing that I heard here's the weird thing that this has created in my head. When Will Smith, one of the biggest movie stars really of all time, smacks one of the greatest comedians of all time, the first thing I thought was, holy shit. The second thing I thought was,
TikTok.
That's going to be a TikTok sound. When he's sitting there going, you know, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
I'm like, remixes.
That is going to be a TikTok. That's going to be a remix. That's going to be at every college bar. Like, they're going to play that sound. And it's just like, that is going to be it. And it made me think that, like, where we're going as a society of taking, you know, immediately that's where my head went.
Yeah.
Is that.
You're thinking of like the viral moment of it playing over and over
over
and over.
It was not even the viral moment, because that's the interesting thing about TikTok. It's like the viral moment is more Twitter. Oh, this happened. Boom, 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 boom. And then we had memes, and then we had memes. And now it's TikTok.
Memes.
Now it's TikTok, where it's we're taking a sound and we're going to create something completely different over it.
Because you're like really gamifying
what,
it.
Yeah. Really what TikToks are, it's like taking a meme and turning it on its head and adding your own stuff to it, which is really interesting from a sociological perspective. I think from a humanity perspective, I think we're all going to hell.
Yeah.
But
Well, sure.
I'm just going to go down with this shit.
I'll teach you how to make your own sound, Billy. It's hard. It's fucking hard, but I'll teach you.
No, it's not.
It's not hard. It's tedious.
It is?
Yeah. I had to combine sounds, and that was hard. And yes. I read a how-to.
Wow. Mm. You guys, I'm proud
of you. Are you proud?
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Everybody that's listening to right now, sorry about the TikTok conversation, but you should follow us on TikTok.
Seriously.
To justify
just,
all of our...
Honestly, just
we're
to
doing
make
this for
me
you.
Feel that we are doing it for you. We're trying to grow, and it's... Help me.
Yeah.
It's a whole
Do it for Billy.
Do it for Billy.
What's yours, Jack? Wait, so yes, guilty Jack. Or innocent? Wait, what are you putting on the stand exactly?
I'm putting on the stand.
It was an abstract idea.
It was a very abstract idea. It's basically like the way that our heads go right now. It's less about what the fuck just happened, and it's more about, hey, that's going to be used in a
You're
meme.
Kind of meta. Like, did you take an edible before this? Because, like, this is very, like, layered and sort of...
It's a little bit existential.
Nihilistic. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're like, what does it all mean?
The answer to all that is yes.
Okay. Great.
All right. Not guilty.
You're
I don't
know. Not guilty.
Too abstract to quantify. Sorry, yeah. Taylor, our social guy.
Social genius.
For this slide. Okay. What I'm putting on the stand, I've been traveling a bunch recently. I've been taking a lot of flights. And what is going on the stand today is the concept of congregating at the front of your gate way before your section is called to board. I don't know why this is a phenomenon that's happened since the beginning of probably boarding flights, but like you're not going to get on the flight any faster if you're at the end of the flight thing by standing in front of people who can't get on the plane that are in a section in front of you. But like no matter what flight it is, there's always like a billion people that are crowding the area. And I'm like, where do you think you're going?
Well, I will say this.
They're scared of their luggage not making it. They're scared.
I know.
They're scared of the carry-on not making it.
There's a bit of that. And there's also, if you're on Southwest, you want to get, you don't want to get
on
the seat.
I'm not on Southwest.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
I fly Southwest like once a year if I'm going to Arizona.
Delta.
I fly Southwest all the time.
Because you go to Phoenix.
I know, but
yeah, I know. And I try to get the money seat. By the way, and I will say this right now, and I probably should save this for one of my... But if I ever walk to the money seat, and the money seat is the one right in front of the... It has a lot of extra leg room because there's no seat in front of you, and it's right in front of the emergency exit. If I see somebody in that money seat that I can tell is less than 6 feet tall, you will never see daggers fall, you know, fly out of somebody's eyes faster than the way I look at that person.
I have a question for you regarding this kind of thing and also planes. There's been a huge debate on if you should put your seat back on a plane or not. Like, is it rude to recline your seat?
This is another thing that we're basically using up all of my, on the stands for a while. My rule is if it's less than 2 hours, you don't put your seat back.
I always put my seat back.
That tracks.
Why, if you weren't supposed to, why would they make it reclinable? I think if you're trying to sleep, I don't always do it, but if you're trying to sleep, yes.
I rarely do it unless I'm trying to like, unless I'm going through something and I'm like, I really gotta have this extra 2 inches. But people get very angry about it. I've seen many debates online. Yeah.
Well, but that's your face and that's all that matters.
What?
The person, I've never had someone behind me complain that I put my seat back.
Oh, yeah. They're complaining in their head, though.
I don't care. I complain about shit in my head literally every 30 seconds what other people are doing.
All it's of the time.
It's only serious if I complain in your face.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know?
Well,
all right. Yes, we will say guilty.
Guilty.
Yeah. Guilty. Right.
Guilty.
Guilty.
All right. Well, when we come back, it is time for some True Crime Rewind.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and The RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on TheRealReal.com using code FIRST. That's TheRealReal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Welcome back to True Crime Rewind. We are going all the way back, to 1865, to the most infamous murder in really American history, because I think it changed more than anything else, any other murder ever did in American history, and we're talking about Abraham Lincoln. Now, as we talked about in the Dark Day, Abraham Lincoln was shot on today, April 14th. In 1865. Now, he was shot by a man named John Wilkes Booth. He was an actor. The guy went off on a horse. His leg was broken. He goes, he gets his leg set and fixed, etc. And then he is basically on the run. Now, an army corps and a leader of the army lines up all of his soldiers and says, who wants to go find this guy? The first guy, and this is legend or whatever it is, that stands forward and says, hey, you know what? I'm going to find this guy. I want to help. His name was Boston Corbett.
Okay.
Now, Boston Corbett was one of the most interesting characters in American history. He should have a movie made of him. I don't know why there hasn't been one. Now, here's the thing about Boston Corbett. He was a religious zealot. He loved religion. He loved Jesus. He wore his hair like Jesus did.
Like
he was a short dude. He was like 5'2", 5'4", something like that. Now, when he was in Boston, He walked past two ladies of the night, and the ladies of the night kind of whistled at him and said, do you want to, you know, do what you do with ladies
usually
of the night?
Usually it's the other way around. That's interesting.
Well, yeah, well, they were, you know, they were advertising. He
hustlers. I'm into it.
He was so disturbed that feelings were coming up out of his loins for these women.
He got a boner.
That he went home and cut his balls off.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Well, how fucking dramatic can you be?
Is that the first time he got like an unsolicited boner before?
Well, we don't know that, but this is what happened. So he cuts his balls off and then he goes to dinner.
Wait, is that where the boner comes from?
No, that's not.
But also, like, wouldn't you hemorrhage? Like, what do you mean he just cuts his balls off and he's able to go to dinner?
Here's the thing. He cuts his balls off and then he goes to dinner and then he realizes I'm in trouble. Dying. And then he goes to the hospital. So
how are you able to do that? Like, without passing out, cutting off a body part?
So this guy is hardcore. Take a look at
opium?
Him, too.
What is he taking?
What's that?
Opium? What is he taking? I don't know, opium?
Probably, yeah. Take a look at, like there's an amazing picture of him. If you do a search for Boston Corbett, one of the...
what's his name?
Boston Corbett is his name. And he's got, like, a goatee. He looks like a hipster. Like, he looks like a really good-looking hipster. And, but this
no, it's
this
not
is
what
this
I was expecting. He kind of looks like he, like, rides a motorcycle.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So this is what his deal was. So he goes on,
he's got a middle part, huh?
he's got like a middle part and like a low bun.
He's got like a Kim Kardashian middle part, yeah, and like a flawless hairline. He looks like his hairline got like, he got laser hair removal to get rid of all of his baby hairs. He's got like a Kim Kardashian hair forehead.
He's very modern looking.
Very manicured.
Yeah, like he looks like he works at just a barbershop.
Honestly, I know this guy.
I know. I've seen him before recently.
Dude, go to Venice. Everybody looks like this.
That's what I'm saying. He looks like he's just like a regular guy that's walking around.
This military style jacket, he's also like sort of steampunk.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This is too weird.
Yeah.
Honestly, so,
yeah. Please, somebody. Option this article that I wrote. By the way, that I wrote this article for True West magazine back in 1995, where I made $200 for it.
95? Wow.
Yes. And then I wrote
like
it.
Seven.
Yeah. And then I wrote it again for Washingtonian magazine, where I updated it and everything like that. Not that there was that much new information back in maybe like 2013 or something along those lines.
It was such a successful article that they solicited you to rewrite it.
No, I didn't. No, I solicited them. Believe me, I was hustling as a journalist, going, "Hey, you guys want this article?" You know, I think it was like the 150th anniversary of the event was coming up or whatever. So Corbett, he's this hardened. You know, he joins the army. He's a hardened soldier. He actually goes to Andersonville prison, which is one of the most. You know, it was in South Central Georgia. It was built for 10,000 captives. It held 32,000 people at its peak. Oh, a third of the men ended up with disease and died. It was like one of the most awful places that you could ever see. He survives Andersonville, and eventually he goes on to goes back to his regiment. And when they're asking to we've got to find this guy who has just shot the president, he's like, I'm going to do it. Now they finally track John Wilkes Booth down. He shows up at a farm, and he's hiding. And the farm says, the owner of the farm says, yeah, you can sleep out in the tobacco barn. He goes to the tobacco barn. He's sleeping in the tobacco barn. The army catches up with him, and they're yelling at him, like, come out. And Booth's like, I'm not coming out, et cetera, et cetera. They're like, all right, we're going to light the barn on fire. Wow. So they light the barn
on
fire.
Seems practical.
Yeah, whatever. They light the barn on fire, and then Boston Corbett is sitting there with his rifle or his gun. We don't know which one it is. And he's waiting. He's looking at Booth, and then he says he sees Booth raise his rifle to shoot out of the barn, and then he shoots Booth dead. Booth.
Karma. It sounds like karmic retribution to me.
And actually, speaking of karma, they actually looked at, at the wound. And apparently, I think this is probably bullshit, that the wound was the exact in the exact same place that Abraham Lincoln's wound was, which is right.
That sounds like lore.
Sounds like a lie.
Yeah, exactly. So,
how did he die?
What's that?
How did he die? Or is there more? Oh, what?
How did Booth die? He just got shot in the head.
No, Corbett.
How did Corbett die? Here's what happened to Corbett. So Corbett, you know, lives a life of like, hey, I want my pension. I want to be famous from this thing. They don't really give him anything. And then he starts going on autograph tours. Like he starts doing Comic Cons, basically.
Amazing.
And he's just like, yeah. And
he was an influencer.
He was an influencer. Then he goes to Kansas and he freaks out. He's actually the sergeant at arms in the Kansas legislature. He freaks out and then takes out his guns and starts shooting up the place. They throw him into an insane asylum.
So dramatic.
They throw him in an insane asylum and then he escapes from the insane asylum and he's never heard from again.
So you were saying he was very Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like a very Christian thing to do. In my opinion.
I mean, listen, he was avenging, you know, Lincoln. You know?
But like, was he super Southern too? Like, I feel like he'd be more on like.
No, he was on South. No, he was Northern.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I do think that this could be a good movie or like a good TV show or at least some kind of a, can't really do a documentary,
I would love to see it. It needs to be told.
I love it, Billy.
There you go.
This little nugget of information.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, all right. So everybody listening, you need to go Google a picture of him. Well, we'll post it, but it's pretty wild. And let me know if you know him.
Yes.
He looks like he's on the Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. Yeah. He very much looks like he's Sons of Anarchy. He's got a little bit of a Charlie Hunnam thing going on. Okay. That wasn't necessarily, I guess, no, he was trying to avenge, you know, but unfortunately, obviously this created a big conspiracy in the same way that Jack Ruby killing Lee Harvey Oswald did, where it's just like, why did they kill him? We want the answers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But listen, the story is to the ages right now. And we're going to listen to your stories that are now to the ages because we're going to hear about the worst things that you people have ever done.
You people. I love that you call them all people. You people.
It's so like demeaning.
It's so weird. You do it every time. I don't want you to stop. I just don't know where you got that.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
All right. Well, come all, come one. You people, as Billy would say, have done some dirty deeds, and I think it's time to discuss them publicly in front of, I don't know, I guess all these listeners are your peers, but that's what we're doing. So we're going in cold, because I'm going to tell you, I completely forgot about this segment when I was prepping for this, and I did it when Billy was talking about his thing.
I was wondering what you're doing.
She's like, because you probably were going to be like, stop fucking typing, Alexis.
Yeah,
I
know.
Putting in Google Voice to find. I know. But I was like, oh, yeah, that's my responsibility, too. But I was so busy writing my stanza this week that I forgot.
It's okay.
About
you're forgiven.
People. Thank you. Here we are with the first. I haven't heard this yet. Hopefully it's a good one.
All right.
So I tried this once before, but I was kind of nervous. So when I was 13, I get off the bus, and both my parents, they own businesses, so they didn't come home until about 6 o'clock. And I lived on the East Coast on a good amount of acreage. I mean, there was a decent amount of land, but there was an easement that went back to a recently logged property. So I walk my 13 year-old ass down this mile-long shell driveway, so excited because I was a total little punk kid, and my brother had given me a blunt, and I had some bud, and I was going to go smoke myself a blunt. I'm going to roll it myself. I'm going to do my thing. So I walked back into this recently cleared logging land. And, you know, 13, you don't really think about a lot of things. So I'm chilling, you know, just getting bored after a while, getting a little stoned, and I start taking out paperwork from my backpack, and I make myself a little fire. No biggie, right? I was super proud of it. Until wind picked up and carried it everywhere, and I started to freak the fuck out. Being so dry, it's actually a swamp land, but for whatever reason, there was not a single mud puddle to be seen, nothing. And within minutes, I'd say there's about a 50-foot fire blazing. And I don't know what to do. So I take off my clothes. I try to smother it, beat it out, but I'm probably just fanning it at that point. It's about a quarter mile from my garage, my dad's shop on our property. So I run up this wooded, I don't even think it was gravel. I think it's mostly just a dirt road. And I go and grab 2 5-gallon buckets of water, sloshing all the way back in my training bras, in my underwear. And by the time I get there, I probably have 1/2 gallon of water. I'm freaking out so bad. And I try and douse the fire. Clearly, that's not going to work. And by this point, it's just spread to a point of, what do? I mean, I didn't. So there wasn't much to be done about that at that point. And being a dumb kid, you don't really realize the implications of what you could do. At 13, I had no clue what a serious wildfire I had started. So naturally, in my training bra and my underwear and my pink zirconi, I walked back up my driveway or the easement and jumped in my pool, got all the soot off, started to worry if my parents were going to be home. They're going to be home any minute. I just knew it. I was freaking out. So I take my shoes, which is the evidence, the only evidence left that I was part of this fire. They're all fucking, I mean, they're burnt. Oh God, the rubber is melted. They're full of ash. I reeked, but the chlorine helped a little bit. So I take these shoes, I wrap them, I don't know if it was a towel or a bag or what, and I shoved it in this dark far corner of my dad's shop, hid them there, walked into the house, took a shower really fast just to get the stench off of me, and sat down on the couch. And when my parents came home, I acted like everything was fine. I know, I'm a horrible fucking person. So about 8 o'clock, so about 3 hours later, there's about 14 fire trucks, 4 or 5 police cars racing down my driveway to this easement. Thankfully, the fire spread to an open field. It did burn about 3 acres, but no homes were, damaged and nobody was hurt. But I never told anybody. My mom didn't tell me until I was about 21. So about 8 years later that she found my shoes and never told my dad. What the fuck, mom? What? You didn't talk to me about this? I needed someone to talk to. But yeah, I'm an asshole and probably could have burnt myself, including my entire family, and my neighbors. So that really sucks. But I'm much more smart now, especially after living in Oregon for years and fire season and all that. So, don't play with fire, kids. Not a good idea. Not at all. Thank you guys. Definitely love listening to y'all. Have a good one.
Okay, well, I want to start with saying that your mom is pretty down.
Well, this reminds me a little bit of, my experience that was like that. But instead of burning 3 acres, it was me drinking my parents' vodka and replacing the bottle with water. And then my parents coming back 20 years later being like, I knew you did.
Hmm. How did they know?
Parents know everything. Well, your mom is her parents knew. Yeah, my parents knew the worst thing that I was doing is drinking their vodka.
Yeah, I knew as soon as I drank the vodka that's what my daughter did.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So but you got to start replacing it with water before she gets to it.
It's funny that she tried to get one over on you, Billy, like king of vodka.
Yeah, like, it was just like, are you fucking... as soon as I poured it, I was just like, oh, yeah.
And
it
wasn't
like it was all water. It was, you know, she drank a little bit and then put water in it, but I can taste that. But when I will say this.
When are kids going to learn, though, that like when we're drinking, we don't fucking know how much we drink, and we're not going to probably... Your parents might, Jack, but like I wouldn't know if I drank this much vodka or this much.
I know. Yeah, no, my parents didn't really drink that much.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say this, you know, one of the taglines of the first degree is only you can prevent serial killers, which is based off of the Smokey the Bear, only you can prevent forest fires. Mm. This really does ring true for this firstie right here because, wow.
Yeah, but it was such an innocent mistake. It's a, you know what I mean? It's like, it's what kids do. They sneak around and they...
Yeah,
they sneak around with libations. And you know what? Most people don't have this happen. You balance everything out. Like there has to be a catastrophe with sneaking around. Like you're the cautionary tale that parents tell.
Unfortunately.
And your mom knew, but your dad didn't, which is nice. But I don't know. I think this shit happens. Like I destroyed shit during those experimental times, but I didn't destroy forest. But, like, you can't pick and choose where shit goes wrong. No. And, like, you didn't mean it. It happens. And no one got hurt, which is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's nice of you, Lex.
It's true. I mean, you didn't mean it. You're not, like, an arsonist who's like, let's kill these squirrels and ruin their homes.
But it could have been. It could have been the beginning of a downward spiral after that.
Yes. And that's
for her. That's the origin story of this squirrel who is, like, going to take revenge right now.
Well, no, it all depends on whether or not it was a pleasurable experience for you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like it was, even though you do sound kind of fun and toasted right now. It doesn't mean that you liked it, and I'm going to assume that you don't. So, and your mom is a good mom. I hope you guys, that sounds like fucking, she's like down ass, not going to tell on you mom. Not everybody has those. My mom's like, if you ever do anything, I'm turning you in because I'm a lawyer. I'm like, thanks. I love you too. On to the next.
Hi, the first degree. I'm a longtime listener. I'm calling in now for your, firsty. I'm gonna start. Okay, I was like 16 years old. I had a boyfriend. We've been dating for, I don't know, like probably 2 years at that point. So that's a long time for like a 16 year old. He was 18. He had just started college in a different town. So I had found out that he thought he could keep his girlfriend, but also have a college girlfriend as well. So I found this out, and I was just enraged, of course. So I gathered up, like, all of the things that he's, like, ever given me, and I, like, shoved them all in a big garbage bag, you know. And anyways, I knew where he parked his car for school. So he used to carpool with somebody else, and he parked his car in a, like a turnaround spot there next to the nearest community. And a bunch of them would like go together. So anyways, this one day his car was there, and it was unlocked. And so I hopped out of my dad's truck with this big garbage bag full of stuff. And I was just gonna like put the garbage bag in the car. But then I decided I was going to open up the bag and I was going to take all the stuff out. So I kind of like trashed his car not really trashed it. I guess they had like teddy bears and stuff. And like, well, this was like 2010. So like some CDs or whatever. And like these dried flowers that he had given me for like, I think it was like a Valentine's gift or something. Anyway, so like I tried to break them and they're really hard to break. I ended up cutting myself actually. But like I was like throwing like all this like dried petals everywhere. And then I for some reason had like a bottle of perfume and I like sprayed it in the car. And like I left the note and it was like, you know, pretty much a fuck you, see you later. or hopefully see you never type, you know, kind of know. I can't remember exactly what it said. Probably said go fuck yourself, though. And I left it on his car windshield, so he had all of this mess to come to when he got there. And his friends are the ones that were going to be dropping him off, so they would have seen this big catastrophic mess inside of his car. And the only thing I really, I still feel like I feel bad, but I don't feel bad because he's still an asshole.
And she didn't call back because I think she got her whole story out. And I have to tell you, I haven't laughed that hard at one of these in a while. And I'm not even really sure why, except like, I see it.
It was chaos.
I'm in the play-by-play. I'm like, and you're going to, this car is going to smell like me for months. And you're going to see, look at these flowers you spent your weird allowance on. And I'm throwing them back in your car. And here's a note. And her accent just did it for me.
I know.
It was like the Barb and Star does Vista Del Mar accent.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the most adorable thing I've ever heard. And you know what? He fucking deserved it. Whatever he did, I hope his friends saw it. And I hope they were like, dude, you missed out on the best thing you ever had. Even though guys don't talk. But guys don't talk like that. But that's what we always think their friends say when they see stuff like this. But I bet they did in your case because you sound so cute. And I love that chaos. That was so good. You barred your dad's truck. You fucking showed him, didn't you?
I know. I love it. And you know what? He did deserve it. If you don't feel bad about it all these years later, I think that he needed it.
I'm sorry. If men drive us to do these things, then they deserve it. We don't do these things to dudes who don't deserve it. No. We do it to dudes who do. Do it to dudes who do. Say that like 50 times
fast. Do it to dudes who do.
But he deserved it, and you fucking showed him with your cute accent and your perfume all over his car.
That's what's up. We do it to dudes who do.
We do it to dudes who do.
That's going to be on a t-shirt.
I like that saying because it's like you don't really know what it means.
Yeah, no. We do it to dudes who do.
We don't do it to dudes who don't. We do it to dudes who do.
We do it to dudes who do.
Honestly, I feel good about that.
And I feel
don't let us. We can't forget that.
No.
No.
I'll remember it when I have to re-listen to this episode to cut some shit out of it. So.
Don't cut anything out of it. This is a winner.
Yeah, you never know the random stuff that you say you forgot about right afterwards. Okay, so that was a great episode.
Yeah, but we need some Costanza.
We need a stanza.
All right, well, not sure how this is going to go, but we'll see. This is called Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. And this is honestly the name of another podcast. I'm not trying to steal it. Isn't this like last podcast, history podcast name?
It's Ben Kissel's
history podcast.
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, politics. But like, I'm not stealing that. And I'm acknowledging
they came up.
You know what? Ben would love
it. I'm crediting them in that. Like, I heard that. And this also works for a title for my poem. Abe Lincoln stood 6'4". A tall man who all adored. And with his hat, he was 7 feet tall and had a head full of hair on top of it all.
Oh my gosh.
Then we have George, who's short and bald. When people see him, they're appalled. Honest Abe, the emancipator, the 16th president, what could be greater?
Wow.
George doesn't get all of Abe's hype. When it comes to Abe, he just can't see it. Because George's mantra is, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Wow. Nice. She got it. She turned it around.
You did turn it around.
Should I say it again? I fucked it up.
No, it's great.
You guys all get it. Whatever.
Yeah. Yes.
We understand.
I don't get a chance to practice these things because I didn't know the theme of the episode until 1 hour before.
Until literally 1 hour before.
So, oopsies.
You know what? You guys, we're three busy people. We're doing our best.
We're doing our best.
I wrote a poem for you, people.
We improvise.
You people.
All right. Ta-ta.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.